the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us. Everybody, he said he saved us. And called us. Everybody say called us. With a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ when? Jesus, before the time began. Before the earth was created, he knew you. He called you. He ordained you. He put you in a purposeful place in his family. Somebody say hallelujah. See, this is both sobering, encouraging, sobering thought. When we hear and read this, we are encouraged to know that we are foreknown by God and not an afterthought. Everybody say, I'm not an afterthought. Now, I don't know what your parents told you, but you're not an afterthought. You're not a mistake. David at one point thought that because of how he was conceived. He was not conceived out of holy harmony or holy matrimony. He was conceived, you know, because they forgot about him even when Prophet Samuel showed up to his house and said, God has anointed a king in this house. And they counted all the people in the house, but David was outside of the house and they had forgot about him. And he said, nobody's here. And here is the one I'm anointed, supposed to anoint it. So Prophet Samuel's still sitting down. And they said, oh, there's one more. Because, see, he always thought that as the youngest of his family, he was an afterthought. He was an accident. He was a, uh-oh, we didn't plan for you. None of you in here and none of you that hear this message is a, uh-oh, we didn't plan for you. I don't care what somebody else told you. God says, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I knew you and I called you for a purpose with a plan. Somebody say, praise the Lord. God is not looking at you and me and trying to figure out what he's going to do with you and me. He's not looking at us and saying, what do I do with you? What do I do with this sister? What do I do with this daughter? What do I do with this son? This verse is challenging in that you and I are responsible to fulfill what God has assigned us to do. We should never want to stand before him and realize we never tapped into his plan or purpose for our life. And we did our own will throughout our whole life. Now, which one do you and I want to choose? To do what we want or to do what he wants in 2025? To do what our family wants or do what our Heavenly Father wants? Some people are influenced by their friends. To do what your friends want or do what your Heavenly Father has ordained and planned. Come on now, I'm not getting too many amens. Praise the Lord. And so we should never, it should also bring us comfort to realize that God knows the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46:10 says this, I made known the end from the beginning, the ancient times, and what is still to come. And I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. He will do all that he pleases. Somebody say, praise the Lord. In other words, he's not trying to do what pleases your flesh and pleases your comfort. He's doing what he what pleases him and is in his eternal purpose for your life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. Someone say, glory to God. And so, God already foreseen the year 2025. He planned and prepared divine paths and divine ordained destinations ahead of time for you and me. You're not an accident, and God is not figuring things out as he goes. Now, listen to Ephesians 2 in the Passion Translation. Ephesians 2:10, it says, we have become his poetry, a recreated people, that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. Everybody say, thank you, Lord, that you have a destiny and a destination for me in Jesus' name. Amen. And so that's where you put your faith on that. I believe I receive my destiny for 2025. And my destiny, my divine destination for 2025. In Jesus' name. It goes on to say this. We are joined to Jesus. Isn't that good? The anointed one. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works that we should do to fulfill it. Isn't that good? Now, let me read you something out of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 32. Look at this. In the New King James, it says, "For we know that all things," everybody say, "we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." Look at verse 29. He's going to give us five things here. He said, "For whom he did foreknow," that's God, "he also predestined," that's us, "and to be conformed to the image of his son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined," that's us, "these he also called," that's us, whom he called, "those he also justified," that's us, "and whom he justified, these he also glorified," that's us. See, those are links of salvation. That means God didn't save us to sit around and wander around in obscurity or in confusion. He wants us to know that he predestined us for divine destiny. In other words, if I take a plane trip from San Antonio to LAX, let's just say I take Southwest. You know, the pilot, we had to get on the plane that's already predestined to go to LA. And because it's predestined to go to LA, that means in flight, the aircraft and the pilots may have to make hundreds, even thousands of adjustments to stay on course, to reach its destination. Maybe it's a nonstop flight. Maybe it's 2.5 hours or 3 hours to get to LAX from here. But they're moving around in that plane, adjusting it, because of all the turbulence to get it off its predestined course. When it lands, it's that we have arrived at our destination. Somebody say praise God. So God has a plan that we arrive at his divine path and his predestined destiny for our lives next year. Somebody say praise the Lord. All right, let's keep reading. Let's keep reading. In the Bible, it says in verse 31, "What shall we say to these things?" Now, this is where we say Selah or silence. We say Selah or silence because we should basically come up with nothing. What should we say to these things? Is if God is for us, who can be against us? Selah, silence. Quiet all arguments, attacks against your mind, against your soul. Quiet all assaults that tell you you're no good, you're insignificant, you're not worth anything, you're washed up, it's over. You don't think that. You don't say that. You should say, Selah, if God be for me. Everybody say it with me. If God be for me. Say it with me again. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's what he says, right? Verse 32, "Who spared not his only son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also freely give us all things?" Everybody say all things. Now notice the word freely. What does freely mean? Free, without cost. Everybody say no charge. You know, like my sons have Netflix accounts. They charge for that. They had the NFL games on three times yesterday. I'm a football person. Forgive me for that. But they say, we can't watch it because of what? It's on the NFL Network. I go to the NFL Network, and they say, you got to charge. You got to pay for this subscription. So then watch football because I'm not going to pay that charge. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Some of you have Max. Some of you have, what's the other one, Prime Video. Is it free? They charge you for watching TV. Are y'all here with me this morning? So he said, if he freely gave me Jesus, because there was no charge or no cost for your salvation. He'll freely give me how many things? Oh, man. What do you need? What do you need? And then when you personalize it and visualize it and internalize it for yourself, you say, if he gave me Jesus, my Father God will give me anything and everything I need for 2025. When we include the church, we said, if he gave us Jesus, if Jesus is the head of the church, if he's Lord over Triumph Word Christian Center, he'll give me anything. He'll give us anything and everything we need. All we need to do is ask. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. So, after presenting these links of salvation, Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is telling us, asking us to respond to the question. If God be for us, who can be against us? Husband and wife can say that about their house, their family, their finances, and their health. If God be, that's what you're supposed to say to these things. Why do you need to say those things to us? You need to ask that question so that you refute all arguments and answer the devil who wants to tell you you're done. It's over. I'm taking your health. I'm taking your wealth. I'm taking your family. I'm taking your goods. I'm going to cause you to have a rough year this year. It ain't going to be good. How do you respond? If God be what? For us, who can be against you? Or you can say, who and what can be against me? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Some realities are so awesome that the only proper response is what? Selah. Silence. Sometimes you got to talk to the devil, though. You got to say, Mr. Devil, the word of God says, if God be for me, who can be against me? That's including you. You got to have a conversation with him. But it's not nice. It's commanding. It's directive. It's authoritative. You're saying, Mr. Devil, if God be for me, you can't be against me. Praise God. If he gave me Jesus, he'll freely give me anything and everything I need. So shut up and pack up your duds and get out of here. In Jesus' name. Somebody say hallelujah. So anyone also can take away our great salvation, our promised safety for 2025, our great salvation in 2025, our planned success, and our projected spiritual significance in 2025 would have to be greater than God. But who's greater than God? Everybody say nobody. Everybody say nobody. Nothing's going to happen in your life or mine or the world at large that's going to take God by surprise. Do you believe that? So God will never recall the book of Revelations and say, because we're reading that now. We're almost finished. We got two more days in our Bible reading plan, and we start another one. But, you know, we're two more days, but we're in the book of Revelation. We're summing up the chapter. God's not going to recall. Wait, I got to rewrite. I got to make a revision to Revelations. No. Because he's overestimated the ability to rule and reign throughout all eternity. He didn't never overestimate it. You know, they said, scientists say the universe is still being created. It's still expanding. When God said, let there be light, it's still going. So God didn't overestimate his creative power and ability to rule and reign, even include us in it for eternity. Somebody say glory to God. Everybody say, for such a time as this. For such a time as this. Esther 4:14 says, for if you can remain completely silent at this time, I don't want you to do that. This is a time where we need your voice. We need your victorious voice. Not a victim voice, not a whining and complaining and groaning and mumbling and stumbling and murmuring voice. He said, for silent this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place. In other words, we got next year to prove God's word's true for us as a church. To prove that that faith opens the door to the supernatural for our lives and for this ministry. We got 2025 as a gift of grace to cause God's will and God's works to come to pass through our lives. Will you take that challenge? Amen. He said, you and your father's house will perish. This is what Mordecai is telling his adopted daughter. He was an uncle, but, you know, Esther was the now queen because Vashti had gotten dethroned. It's a beautiful story if you read Esther. I love it, those 10 chapters. He said, yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Now, an edict had went out, right? The story account of Esther is that provides one of the most remarkable lessons in the Old Testament. And while the Jews were being in Persian captivity, they were in charge of Medes and Persia, a large empire, an evil man named Haman tried to orchestrate an extermination of the Jewish people. You know, people are doing that even still today. So at this time, a beautiful young Jewish woman named Esther was found favor in the Persian king's, Esther's uncle. Mordecai learned of Haman's plot and realized that God has strategically placed Esther in a position where she could be used to intervene and intercede. He's put us there as well, where we can intervene and intercede. That's why prayer is so important on behalf of the Jewish nation. See, the idea of coming to the kingdom for such a time as this speaks powerfully of destiny and divine purpose. Everybody say destiny and divine purpose. For such a time as this, what time? To 2025. We're in the kingdom. We're coming into the kingdom in 2025 for such a time as this. Political uncertainty, you know, national uncertainty. Lots of things going on, but that's why we rise up, step up, and be the church and build the church. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So what is this saying to us today as we embark on the new year 2025? What is this saying? Number one, don't miss the simple opportunities in front of you every day because you're waiting for some magnificent or large-scale project. Don't do that. I think we should be on the next slide, guys. According to the paper, yeah. If God gives you a big assignment, great, but don't miss and despise the small things in your meantime. Zechariah 4:10, the first part of the verse says, for who has despised the day of small things? Who has despised the day of small things? Number three, our calling and our commitment to fulfill God's plan and purpose should be greater than our personal conveniences or our personal comfort. Let me stop right there for a minute and pause and say Selah. Our cause, our calling, and our commitment to fulfill God's plan and purpose should be greater than our personal conveniences and our personal comfort. Now, over 20 years, it's time enough for to what we say, that song says, to forget about ourselves and concentrate on Him. And worship and serve Him. Praise God. It's time to do what Jesus said. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Him. Can I get an amen to that? So our calls, our calling, and our commitment must be greater than our convenience and our comfort. The context of our daily expressions and execution of God's will should not be just to let the present moments, but the future and eternal moments. Look at this, Psalms 102, verse 18, in New Living Translation. Let this be recorded for the future generations. Now, as Pastor Cynthia was praising God this morning and asking us to praise God, and I knew we need to praise Him more as I came up, the thought that came to me was this verse, that we're not just praising Him for today. And some people praise God in praise and worship service just for the moment. If I'm feeling good, I'm going to shout. If I'm getting emotional with the song, I'm going to shout. we got to get better than that. We got to shout while the walls are still standing. We're shouting for the future victories, for the future triumphs, for the future blessings, for the future generation. Praise God. We're shouting and praising God for our kids, our grandkids coming to Christ and coming to church. Praise God. We're shouting because we see ahead that God has made a plan. Will you shout and praise God in advance for the future generations? In your own room, will you dance around your house and say, I'm dancing not only my money, but the salvation of my family. I'm shouting right into the devil's face. He's telling me my kids are never going to turn to Christ or come to Christ or come to church. But you're still dancing and shouting the victory. Your voice is being lifted up because I'm not going to be a victim and my family's not going to be victimized by the devil and the demons and the evil spirits. I'm going to shout the victory. That's why every morning you should rejoice. Every morning you should not only have think time, reading the word, meditating the word, but also thank time. How many of us are behind on our praise? How many of us only listen to music and never mouth the music from our hearts to the Lord and say, let this be recorded in heaven, in my living room, in my bathroom, in my bedroom, for future generations, so that people not yet born will praise the Lord. I was praising God for that little fellow who just got born in October 12th. Praising God before he got here. And I'm not stopped praising God because he is here. That's the kind of mindset we need to have. We need to be praising God for our kids and our grandkids. Because, look, God, I got a covenant with you. And you said, if I believe on you, I'll be saved in my whole household. You're praising God for the day when they give their life to Jesus, when they come to a saving knowledge, when they become in love with the Lord, and they follow him fully in their life. Praise God. You're not waiting till they finally show up and they're all tore up from the floor up, and then they're on triage when they're coming in. Well, you're praising God when they're 12 years old, when they're 13 years old, when they're 15 years old, when they're 10 years old, when they're 2 years old, when they're 1 year old. Y'all get the point, right? Okay. Number four, if you don't have specific clarity on what you're supposed to do, y'all see it right there on the screen, today and in 2025, find out what the Bible says and tells us how to treat, love, honor, and serve one another. Look for opportunities. Everybody say opportunities. To carry out those directives in your regular daily life. Now, the Bible says in one place in Hebrews, exhort or encourage one another daily. So some people get all twisted. Why is Pastor sending out these emails in the morning? How many of y'all read my emails? Okay, you do. Okay. Well, the Bible says exhort one another how? Daily. I'm giving you a hint. Everybody say hint, hint. I don't want to be bothered. Well, get over yourself and get out of yourself. One another scriptures, there's 13 or 14 prominent ones in the New Testament. One another. That means I need to forget about myself and concentrate on him and others and worship him. I need to be thinking about other people, how they're getting along, and worship him. Somebody say praise the Lord. Look at Galatians 6:10. Passion translation. Take advantage of every opportunity to be a blessing to others. Every opportunity to be a blessing. When I'm coming to church, I'm thinking of two things, Sister Grace. Who am I helping? What am I going to learn? Because when I get better, everybody around me and everything around me gets better. I have to learn. Learning means I'm growing. When God grows me, he helps grow the church. Because if I'm not listening or learning for opportunities to be a blessing, to share and show compassion and care and love to commitment to other people, then I'm not learning anything. And if I'm just coming to get my blessing and my Bible study, I'm not learning anything. I'm just coming to get my breakthrough. See, I didn't need to be coming to, what do I learn? Because God's going to teach you learning through the love path, first and foremost. The love path means I'm thinking about other people. That's why you get up and get dressed and you pray and prepare to come to church, because I'm going to love my family, my tough church family. I'm going to learn how to love them bigger. I'm going to learn how to love them better. I'm going to have to learn how to give bigger and give and forgive better. I'm coming through that. What do I learn and who do I help? Because every one of us have a need. But if you're sensitive and heart tender to the Holy Spirit, you look for needs. You don't look for what do I need. You look for what do they need? What does the church need? It'd be good to put the church's needs on your list. So you're praying for the church's needs, not just your needs. Somebody say, praise the Lord. He said, take advantage of every opportunity to be a blessing to others, especially those our brothers and sisters in the family of faith. Now, here's what the devil does. Y'all ready? Next slide, guys. These are the lies, in particular, the devil tells us to keep us from answering God's call and becoming a vessel fit for his use. Look at what he does. We have to deal with that, though. We have to deal with uncertainty. We have to deal with deception. We have to deal with doubt, because he hits all of us. We often said this, and I'll say it again, the devil never takes a day off. He's going to knock at your door daily, but it's called your mind. He's going to tell you, you don't have to do that today. You don't have to pray for them. You don't have to let, you know, I'm not being used. I'm being abused. I've done enough volunteering. So he tells you that if something great is going to happen, be done, it's going to be done by A, someone different than you, or somewhere different than where you are, or C, the gifts different than what you have. So we make excuses and not advances. We say, well, I can't pray. Or I can't give. Or I can't serve. Because the devil's been lying to us. He's been deceiving us. Somebody say, praise God. In other words, he'll tell you that the great things are different, distant, and what? Difficult. And some believers, as we say up here on the slide, have otheritis. Everybody say, don't have otheritis. What is otheritis? They say, if certain circumstances were different, then I would do what? Then I would, were different, then I could serve effectively. So we're always making excuses. 1 Corinthians 7:17 in the message says, don't be wishing you were someplace else or with someone else. Where you are right now is God's place for you. Live and obey and love believers right there. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Everybody say, this is good stuff, Pastor. The accuser of the devil will tell us lies to keep us from being fully engaged and effective here and now. Now, we say fully engagement is you're what? Always attending, always giving your time, talent, treasure, testimony. You want to be doing all four. I'm talking about fully engaged. Time, talent, treasure, money, monitor, and testimony. So you're always giving that out. You're always sharing the word. You're always sharing the gospel. You're a gospel minister just like me. Amen. You're always attending church, so you don't make excuses for and exemptions and explanations why I can't come to church. Because it's assumed when the invite comes, you come to church. When the opportunity comes, you serve in the church. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Full engaged also mean you're always inviting. Everybody say, always attending, always giving, always inviting. So everybody knows that's what it means when I say you're fully engaged. You're not fully engaged unless there's all three. Right? Now, what does he say? God could use you if you had a better education. So some people think, I got to go back to school. God could use you if you only had a better pastor and you were in a different church. Everybody say, that's a lie. God could use you if someone else would just give you a big opportunity. Give me something big. Don't give me something small. Everybody say, that's a lie. God can only use people who are smarter than you, speak better than you, sign better than you, etc. Everybody say, that's a lie. God can use you if you were only in full-time ministry. Everybody say, that's a lie. God can only use you if you were younger or if you were older. That's a lie, right? God can only use you if you were single or if you were married. Everybody say, that's a lie. Somebody say, hallelujah. Another lie that he tells us as brothers and sisters and believers, that if God can't use them because they were messed up too much and their past sin is too great. Now, that's the big deal of why we're fasting. Because you got to get out of that negativity that there's been repetitive disappointments or discouragement because of either difficulty in your own life, disobedience through your own life and lips. Come on now. You have to deal with that. Because some people say, I've messed up. I'm checking out. I'm coming off the clock. You know, think about Peter's failure, the denial of the Lord. He did it three times, right? And what did God tell him? In Luke 22:32, he says, But I pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith would not fail, so that you would have, when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. Next slide, guys. Next slide. Come on. All right. Don't let false guilt keep you from serving God. If your past sins and your 2024 experience outside of God's will is haunting you, then we humble ourselves and let God do a deep work in your heart and mind. Allow yourself to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus and restored by the Spirit of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So the time is to get busy now. Sometimes people stress timing and preparation, and those are certainly important, but however, should not be the basis for procrastination or neglect. They shouldn't keep us from acting now when what we can do so now. Our serving and our acting now is a major part of what prepares us to do greater things later. That's why we invite you to prayer. That's why we invite you to serve. That's why we invite you with the opportunities to train and get better. Some prophecies have been made concerning the last day's revival and the move of God yet to come. Of the prophecies have said the greatest and move of revival will come through the local church. But we got to get prepared for that. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And see, but that's all that's great. But if we do nothing while we're waiting on God to move, to do something, we are missing it. We want to say, God, you can't miss us because we're prepared. We're getting ready faith prepares and faith gets ready. The greatest demonstration that you're expecting a move of God, expecting manifestation from God, is by what you and how you prepare for it. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Anticipation of revival should not be lull us into passivity and lethargy. We should spur us on to obedience and action. William Booth said, I am not waiting for a move of God. He's the founder of the Salvation Army. He said, I am a move of God. Everybody say, I am a move of God. Everybody say, I am a move of God. Now, are we in the last days? Next slide, guys. Now, I want you to look at this. Click over to the time clock, the link there. Wait, let it come up in a minute. It's going to come up. Okay. Now, look at this. Everybody see it? How many people in the world today, according to this clock, national worldwide clock calendar? 8 million. And you see they're going up, 301, 304, 8 million, all 196,836,322, 4, 5. See how many people are born today? But I want you to look at this one. How many people died today? How many people died this year, were born this year, died this year, what's the net growth this year? Now, even if you disagree with these assessments that we are in the last days prescribed in the Bible, because the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:8, but you must not forget one thing, dear friends, a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. 2 Timothy 3:1, it says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. And that's what we are. Now, click back to the slide, John. Click back to the slide, please. Did y'all see that? See the numbers going up and down? Describe that there's no dispute in the fact every day we live is someone's last day. Every day we live in 2025 is going to be someone's last day. Current estimates, if you add the estimates, 178 people die each day. 178,000 people die each day in the world. That's 7,425 deaths each hour and 120 deaths each minute. Imagine that. Even half a second, every half a second, another soul somewhere in this world passes into eternity. Did they know Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior? Were they born again? This is why we emphasize the urgency of the hour. This is why I'm contending for each of you as believers' involvement in ministry. This is why we're saying we must labor now while we can, when we can, and all that we can. Jesus recognized the human tendency to procrastination and put things off and delay when he said in John 4, 35 and 36, look what he said. You know this saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say to you, wake up, look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit of the harvest of people is brought into eternal life. What joy awaits both the planters and the harvesters alike? If not now, when do we rise to obedience and action? When we are the hands and feet of Jesus? Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so someone needs what we have. Stand to your feet, please, as we close. Thank you, Father God. Father God, I've delivered your message to these, your precious people, with the expectation that it will cause a revolution and a readiness to come into their spirit, for and a preparedness to come into their planning and preparing for next year. We thank you for this year, Lord. But we thank you for helping us be prepared for next year and your work and your purpose for our lives. For such a time as this, dear Father God, we thank you that you will give us an urgency and an ownership of our responsibilities and our roles in the kingdom, in the local church, and as a Christian believer. Thank you, Father God, that you're helping us burn with passion and purpose to do the eternal work that you have prepared and planned ahead of time for us. We thank you for such a time as this that we will rise up to be the church and build the church. So many times we're so interested in the entertainments and enjoyments of life, and we think church and Christianity is supposed to be just entertainment and enjoyment. But Father God, shake us up on the inside and shake up our minds to see that there's a hell to shun and that there's a heaven to gain for each and every person that we encounter. Thank you, Father God, for helping us to rise up into our place by your grace and do run our race in 2025. Father, we don't want to sit down or slow down or step down. We want to step up and speed up our eternal destiny and destination. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to pray. Well, you know, open your eyes because I want you to pray for each other. I want you to go to someone next to you. And even if they're a little child, like the little ones we have here, pray for them. That God's eternal plan and purpose will be fulfilled and accomplished in 2025. So we want everybody to get prayer. You guys can just put on some music and just go.